Luke chapter 1 here tonight. Luke chapter 1. Continue our Bible study and interpretation series. Luke chapter 1. While you're turning there, let me mention my passion for this subject. I had the privilege of helping start a local church Bible college more than 15 years ago. And one of the most popular classes in our small little Bible Institute type of college was methods of teaching. But one of the things that I thought was not a good thing was that the course on biblical interpretation was not as popular. Why? Because, you know, that biblical interpretation requires work. But the way I look at it, both of those classes are equally important. Teaching is only as good as the interpretation of the truth of Scripture. Can I remind you that liberals and cult leaders, in many cases, are good communicators, but bad theologians? Many Baptist preachers are also that way. There's a famine, maybe we'll say, on proper biblical interpretation today. And so I believe it's very important for us. And by the way, it's not just the preacher that should be able to sit down and see what the Bible, you know, try to understand what the Bible means. Notice what Luke says here, Luke chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. So many are not so surely believing things anymore. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. So notice they're writing down their eyewitness accounts, and they're then ministering the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Let me just say it this way. One of the greatest compliments I ever received on my 40th birthday was that those four verses describe Brother B. I could not have had a greater compliment as far as that. I want to be able to sit down and study what the Bible says and then present it. Because notice what he says here. Many have taken in hand to set in forth in order, notice in order, an orderly presentation. It says, even as they delivered them unto us from the beginning were eyewitnesses. Notice it says, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding. That is not a statement of bragging there. Because of all of his study, he had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. Notice, to write unto thee in order. Notice he's writing in order. An orderly presentation, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now, why study about biblical interpretation? First of all, to correctly interpret the Bible in its original meaning. I want to emphasize that because there's a lot of problems with the original meaning. They'll pull something out of context and give it a meaning that has nothing to do with the original. I want you to consider here, first of all, way of a reminder, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says that we are to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Notice me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've already given you the illustration early on of the young preacher from one of our Bible colleges that preached a sermon based on a passage in Acts where the Apostle Paul says, I think myself happy. That was the theme of his song. Or a sermon, I should say, yeah, song. I think myself happy. It had nothing to do with the context. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, when the Apostle Paul is giving a defense of what he believes. He's not thinking himself happy, but that was the theme of his sermon. So again, as we think about this, it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Notice, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Many of our young people, as I've said, leaving our Bible colleges, do not know how to properly interpret Scripture. If that's the case, I wonder how many people in the pew of churches, Baptist churches, do not know how to properly interpret Scripture. They pull something out of context, think that's what it says, and not really look at whether or not that's really what it says. In many cases, some preachers are handling the Word of God deceitfully. The word deceitfully means to knowingly distort the Word of God. I've used the illustration, I'm going to use this again at this point, of a well-known Baptist preacher in America who had some very heretical teaching in relation to the Lord's Supper, in relation to various things as far as marriage and so on and so forth. I want you to consider that if we're not careful, we will deceive people with the Word of God. Every cult does that. They will quote Scripture out of its context to prove their doctrines. Of course, our theme verse for this series has been 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study. There's the problem right there. Well, yeah, if I can read 5 minutes in the morning, I'm fine. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. But then it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. That phrase, rightly dividing, means to handle correctly and skillfully. To correctly interpret and teach the word of truth. Now, I don't remember where I came across this, but somewhere along the way, I came across an illustration as far as Paul being a tent maker and how this applies in this as an illustration of this. Tents in the Bible culture were made from skins of animals in a patchwork design. So literally each piece of leather had to be cut correctly or it would not fit together. Literally that's a picture of what we're talking about is rightly dividing the word of truth, handling it correctly and skillfully, trying to correctly interpret and then teach the word of truth. There's a process that we have to go through as we teach. And let me just say this, parents, you have a responsibility to this. You have a responsibility. Grandparents, we have a responsibility to understand what the Bible says and then present it in such a way that helps them to live the Christian life. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 15. In this context, and what it says, oh, there's that context thing. Have you ever thought about how many times I say that? I believe it's very important to look at the context whenever possible. It says in verse 15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, all right, the New Testament writings, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood. All right, so some things in the Bible are difficult to understand. There's some things we won't fully understand until we get to heaven. I fully acknowledge that. But there are some things that we could probably understand a little more in detail if we just knew how to properly interpret and study the Bible. Which they that are unlearned and unstable, doesn't matter if they have a PhD or not, the Bible calls them unlearned and unstable, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked. Notice, it's error. They're teaching error, even though they might be teaching the Bible. Fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Notice again verse 16. It says, as also in all his epistles, speaking of some things that are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, notice the word rest. They rest with the scriptures. It means to twist, to distort, to change the meaning. In other words, you end up with a wrong interpretation of scripture and you teach that wrong interpretation. Notice something else here about this, Isaiah 28. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28, verse 10. Verse 9 says, who are we going to teach knowledge? Somebody who's mature. Weaned from the milk. All right, verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Verse 13 tells us the same thing. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now, of course, in this context, it's talking here about judgment and so on. But notice here again, the word of the Lord came unto them, was unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. constantly looking for new things as we try to build upon the understanding of Scripture. Now, the second reason is to properly apply the Bible to life today. Notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I've emphasized this before, but it should not be all about information that we're seeking. It is important for us to learn what the Bible says, what it means, but then to apply it to our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now, I have had some who say, in another church, another state, that a New Testament Baptist preacher should not be preaching from the Old Testament. Well, I was preaching through the book of Proverbs at the time, if I remember correctly, years ago. I said, So I'm not supposed to preach about any Old Testament characters? Not supposed to do anything from... No. A New Testament Baptist preacher should be preaching from the New Testament. Well, basically, I told him, you've just thrown away two-thirds of the Bible. Plus, you've thrown away the foundation upon which the New Testament rests. Little upon little, line upon line, we'll talk about this, but God uses progressive revelation. I want you to think about this as far as the Old Testament. Obviously, the Apostle Paul did not believe that, if that man really would understand and read the New Testament that he was telling us to study. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Who's he talking about? Obviously, the Old Testament Israel in the wilderness. "And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did all eat the same spiritual meat? Did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock," capital R, we saw that in Deuteronomy, "that followed them, and that rock was Christ." All right, so this is a New Testament passage going back to the Old Testament truth that was found in Scripture there. "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples." Strange how he thinks that we shouldn't be reading and studying the Old Testament when they're supposed to be our examples. "To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." You think about Exodus 32, the golden calf, and so many different things. They are written there for our learning and our admonition, our challenge. "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. That is not a contradiction in Scripture. Notice here it says they fell in one day, 23,000. You look at the Old Testament, 24,000 totally died. All total died in that judgment of God. "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Notice all of these are given as examples for us. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." There's the application for us. All right, so these Old Testament Israelites who caused a lot of problems and grief for the Lord and for Moses. Now Paul says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." You know, if God's chosen nation is going to struggle spiritually, I think we might have some things as well. And so it's not necessarily your weak side you need to watch. It's your strong side. "I'm strong enough to handle this." Paul says, you better watch out. You might fall. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." All right, so they experience these things. All right, so it's common to us. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." They were very much idolaters. So he says, flee from idolatry. Notice also 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right, so it's not enough just to find out what the Bible means in interpretation. We must also know how to properly apply the Bible to life today. And again, as I've pointed out, Hebrews 5 talks about by reason of use, using the Word of God in our lives. Now, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, very familiar passage, but we often read verse 16 and 17 without verse 15. There's an application as far as salvation as well. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From a child, right? So that's why it's important for us to make sure that we are giving children the truth of Scripture. Amen. That's one of the things we pray for our grandchildren, that they will come to understand the gospel at a young age. And not get caught up in this, you know, just praying because everybody else is. That's not the way of salvation. That's why so many children later on will doubt their salvation because, well, you know, all their friends are doing this. That's not a reason to pray and ask, you know, supposedly ask Jesus, you know, make a profession of faith, whatever you want to call it. But notice, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So a right application of the understanding of Scripture is going to lead us to salvation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and notice, is profitable. That means it's useful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice here again, it's profitable, first of all, for doctrine. In most cases, when you see the word doctrine in the New Testament, it's talking about teaching. You're getting doctrine right now. Okay, well, I'm not talking about the doctrine of Christ, but you're getting doctrine. Notice it's teaching about what is right. Notice for reproof, reproof is that part of the Bible that tells us what's not right. Telling us there's something wrong here. By the way, that's what James 1 says. You know, we're looking in the perfect law of liberty and find out what we need to change. Notice also the Bible is useful or profitable for correction. How to get it right. So when we're messing up and we realize it, God doesn't want us to stop there. He doesn't want us to say, God, I messed up again. I might as well quit. No. He doesn't want us to quit. He wants us to get it right. But then he says, for instruction in righteousness. Notice teaching or instruction in how to stay right. God tells us exactly how to make the changes in our lives. And again, the purpose, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore. All right, so as you're studying the Bible, pay attention to the word therefore and, you know, similar words, because you're going to see why it's therefore. When you see that word, you go back to he's been talking about the Bible being given by inspiration of God. So I charge thee, therefore, because of that, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Right? Anytime you look at the end of Scripture, it's the living and the dead, those who are still alive and those who have already died, at his appearing and his kingdom. There is a judgment day coming, not just for the unsaved, for all of us. It's called the judgment seat of Christ for believers. Notice the command, preach the word. Just a minute, I've got to get my place here. All right, we read a verse. Now, I'm going to tell you stories for the next half hour. That is a lot of Baptist preaching today. It does not say read a verse and then tell stories. That is not preaching. But how many times I've seen this in conferences and all that. This big name preacher, boy, I mean, he'll passionately read a verse and he's going to tell you stories for the next 45, 50, an hour. That's not preaching the word. How are you preaching the word if we're not looking at the word? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. But then, you know, a lot of those same preachers will belittle what they call expository preaching. When you're just preaching through a book of the Bible, when you're preaching through a passage of the Bible, because they're famous in pulling a phrase out and they're going to preach a whole hour sermon on one phrase. Preaching the word, be instant in season, out of season. Now here's some unliked words in our modern day. Judge not, judge not, judge not. Reprove. You're judging me. No, I am not. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Reprove. Oh, well, we don't like this one either. Rebuke. And exhort. Exhortation carries the idea of challenge. Notice, those are strong words. But it's all based on Scripture being useful for today. Notice, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's why when Jesus said to his disciples, how long am I going to suffer you? In other words, how long am I going to put up with you? I felt like that sometimes over the years. Thankfully, I don't feel it as much now. I'll be honest. But all long-suffering and doctrine. Why won't they get it? That's what preachers feel like sometimes on Mondays. But then the preacher asks, why am I so slow at getting it? Notice, and doctrine, teaching. That's something else a lot of Baptist preachers will belittle, is teaching. Preach the word. In the same passage, it carries the idea of teaching. So my preaching ministry should involve teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We are there. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. That's why they belittle teaching. Having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Consider right practice depends on right interpretation. If I don't fully, truly understand what the Bible is teaching, then I'm not going to live it correctly. So here's four important steps as far as interpreting Scripture. First of all, observation. Observation, what does it say? In other words, I'm carefully reading what the Bible is saying. Observation. A second step is interpretation. What does it mean? This is going to require thorough study. A key word in interpretation is understanding. I'm wanting to carefully look at what the Bible means so that I understand what God is saying. So observation, interpretation, third step is correlation. How does it compare with other passages in Scripture? I want you to think about this. False doctrine is based on one verse pulled out of its context without comparing Scripture with Scripture. Whether it's a Baptist church or otherwise. So in other words, I'm comparing things scripturally. And then finally, application. It is incomplete until we have application of truth to our lives. How does it apply to my life? In other words, how do I practically live this in my life? And let me just give you a very important principle here. Interpretation is one. Application may be many. So, you hear different preachers preach from the same passage. Why does one preacher say this and another preacher says this? And it's not wrong as far as the interpretation. They're emphasizing different applications. That's within the realm of Scripture, but interpretation is one. So interpretation, you know, for example, 2 Timothy was written to Timothy. And he was not necessarily just an elder. He was a part of Paul's traveling ministry, and he would often, Timothy and Titus, both would often stay when the Apostle Paul moved on. They would continue to organize churches and so on. When the Apostle Paul, a pioneer, would move on to a new location. And let me just say this and emphasize this. Never focus on information rather than application. Let me say this as far as some Bible studies. Some preachers will focus on prophecy. You have to be careful with that. By the way, Hebrews 6 says that's a foundational doctrine. And yet, how many preachers focus heavily on prophecy? That's why I don't focus in on any one subject. I try to do a variety of things. I want to maintain a balanced preaching and teaching ministry. But if we're not careful, we'll focus on information rather than application. Let me show you a couple of examples here. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. All right, so one of the best teachers we can ever learn from, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The master teacher, as I sometimes refer to him. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. I'm just going to give you a little bit of the context here so that we understand we're picking up on what is going on here. Verse 13 says, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus. All right, so these are the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs. And you know, and again, you can get a dictionary to find out how long a furlong is. Those are different things you can learn as far as information, as far as the Bible is concerned. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. What things? Well, at this point, they're talking about the crucifixion, but then people are talking about the tomb being empty. It came to pass that while they were communed together and reasoned, notice they're reasoning, By the way, we have to be careful about exalting reason. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Notice their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And of course, Jesus asks them, you know, what are you talking about? What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Why are you so sad? You know, Jesus is thinking, you know, the resurrection has taken place. Why are you so sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger? Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? I think Jesus knew what things, but he says, what things? He's asking a question to get them talking and communicating. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Jesus told them all about this before he went to the cross, if they had been listening. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. The men could have also been there at the tomb, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that he had also seen a vision. They had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as so as the women had said. But him they saw not. Peter and John, remember, went to there. He says, oh, fools, you know, it's not a good thing when the Lord calls us fools, calls believers. Then he said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And notice this, verse 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, let me ask you. Do you think walking on the road to Emmaus, he started from Genesis 1:1, and was reading the entire Old Testament? No. He was sharing scriptures throughout the Old Testament, and that's this orderly presentation of a truth and so on. So notice again here that aspect. Notice verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat or food with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Someday we're going to get to do that too, if you read scripture. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And by the way, I think we need to study the Bible until our heart burns. We need a good case of heartburn. do we seek to understand the scriptures to the point where our hearts are burning with, you know, because we found some truth that God wants us to emphasize. Verse 44. Instead of them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's exactly what we need. But we're only going to experience that when we are seeking to study the scriptures and to see what they actually mean. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin. Oh, look at that. Repentance and remission of sins. There are Baptist preachers who try to say repentance is adding to salvation. Repentance and remission of sins. Jesus himself said it should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. Notice Acts chapter 18. A couple more passages and we'll be done. Acts chapter 18. Apollos is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, because he had a teachable spirit even though he was a good teacher. Notice it says here, Acts chapter 18, verse 24, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. I like those. He's an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, another character trait I like about Apollos, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. But notice he had incomplete understanding here, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, let me pause there. I went to a Baptist college and had some things I had to relearn after college. That's one reason why I have great respect for Apollos. He was willing to relearn what he thought he knew. It says he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they stood up in the meeting and interrupted his teaching and said, Wait a minute! No, it was not heresy that he was teaching. He just did not know the whole truth yet. So that's why they did not interrupt him. I really believe that. Notice Aquila and Priscilla heard him. They took him unto them. Probably took him to their home or took him off to the side or whatever. And notice, I love this Bible word, expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. That's what I try to do in my teaching and preaching ministry. I want to expound God's truth. I don't want to just hit and miss something. I want to explain things. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. And of course, as we understand from Scripture, he probably became the pastor of the church at Corinth after the Apostle Paul moved on. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. One other passage, Acts chapter 28. Let me just mention this on Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. It says that the Levites taught more distinctly. They gave the sense. They explained the Old Testament Scriptures because a lot of the Jews, after the captivity, did not know Hebrew. So they had to explain the meaning. They had to communicate the meaning of Scripture, the Old Testament Scriptures. Chapter 28, verse 17. So this is after the Apostle Paul is in Rome. He's under house arrest. It came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews, the religious leaders, Jewish leaders there in Rome, together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. Of course, that's a lot of the chapters of the book of Acts leading up to this point. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. That'd be like us appealing unto the Supreme Court or whatever. And not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. What's the hope of Israel? The Messiah. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, notice Christianity was just some other religion. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. Everyone was speaking against Christianity. And when they had appointed him a day, notice, a day, there came many to him, into his lodging, place where he was staying under house arrest, to whom, notice, he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them, notice these key words, concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, notice, for a quick 1, 2, 3, hurry up and pray after me. No, he spent all day teaching these Jews from the Scriptures. Now, I'm not saying somebody may not be ripe for the picking, as we could say. I mean, they're ready to pray. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, are we willing to study the Scriptures? By the way, Acts 17 says we may have to start with creation. Most of American young people have not been taught that there is a creator God that they're going to give an account to someday. We may have to start with the very basics. So, are you able to take the Scriptures? Talking about creation. I know. Genesis 1:1. Okay, what about other questions they may have? Are you ready to give answers? By the way, 1 Peter 3:15 says we are to be ready with answers. Yeah. But you notice again, from morning till evening, some believed, some believed not. We can expect the same results today. Oh, I can't believe why they didn't get saved because I gave them such a persuasive appeal. Well, the Holy Spirit has to take what you say and draw them. You know, so much for a preacher saying, yeah, while you're waiting for the Holy Spirit, I'll lead 500 people to the Lord. Really? So whose converts are they? So whose converts are they? See, it's a both and. I need to be ready by knowing what this book says, while I allow the Holy Spirit to draw them. You see, the Holy Spirit, that's His job. It's not mine. Amen. Come on, you want to get saved, don't you? Or, let's pray. You want to be saved now, don't you? That's salesman techniques. God never asked us to be salesmen, just to proclaim the truth. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Help us, Lord, to know what your word says, to understand what it means, and know how to apply it to our lives. Lord, there's so much weak understanding of your word today. Father, probably because there's been a lot of shallow preaching for decades now. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to dig into your word, to allow you to open our eyes so that we understand what your word means. And Lord, ultimately, to be ready with answers when people need to know the truth. Lord, give us a desire to study your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.